Cambridge 105 Radio.
This week, as part of my multi-faith series on well-being, I caught up with Reverend Devlin McLaughlin, who works at Great St. Mary's in the centre of Cambridge. He chatted to me about how church services can be accessed during the pandemic closures and how these services can help benefit people. Good morning, Devin. And thank you.
Good morning, Emily.
Absolutely. So as this is the first time we've talked, I'd like to start with the basics. When people think about the church, there's a lot of imagery and history it springs to mind. But of course, modern church is far from all the pomp and dogma of the past. Could you tell us a bit about what being a reverend is like today?
Oh, sure. Thank you. And thank you for asking that. As an immigrant here to England, I originally come from the States. It's amazing, sort of the layers of assumptions and images. And we have this fantastic and beautiful imagined Victorian past of what a church is. And that history is important. So I'm at Great St. Mary's. It's been there in the market since at least 1205 and probably much longer. Wow. It's been the university church since the University of Cambridge began. That's where some of the first lectures happened. That's where a lot of university and civic meetings would happen until Senate House was built. So layers of history. But we're also, you know, a very contemporary churches, if they're continuing to thrive and be alive, need to be alive to where people are and walking with people. The church is about a gathering and a journey rather than about a building and a set piece in history. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's a range of churches. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
How does that sort of manifest today? You still do church services, but I imagine, well, I guess that leads me on a little bit to my next question. So the churches are sensibly all closed at the moment for physical entry, but the community resources they provide have been made accessible in other ways, modern ways, you could say. Can you tell us a bit about what's on offer and how it's being delivered now?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So we voluntarily chose to close our buildings because we're right there in the city of Cambridge and we didn't want to be encouraging people to come in during lockdown.
Absolutely.
We're blessed to have a strong social media presence on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, all at Great St. Mary's.
Fantastic.
And so we're offering up to 20 services a week. Most of that we're doing either live stream direct to social media or we're pre-recording so we can include choral and organ music. Our choirs are still rehearsing over Zoom, and our music director is patching music together as well as bringing in old recordings. Because worship needs to be more than just sitting and listening to someone talk at you. It's that spiritual motion that happens through music and through silence as well as through conversation. So I think we're doing about 20 services a week right now online.
I guess that probably is an increase in what you would normally be doing in a physical building. So I guess that's maybe something positive to come out of this. I'm hearing that across the board from all the different people I've spoke to, that having gone online, you're actually able to reach a greater number of people and in greater times as well. You can do it more, I mean.
We have, and we've reached people that, because Cambridge is such a transient community in some ways, and what I love about Great St. Mary's is we have members in the community who've lived in Cambridge for generations and folks who are only here for 2 or 3 years as they complete a degree or work on an internship. And it's lovely reconnecting with people all around the world. So we have folks from West India and the South Pacific and Asia and America joining us in our worship. And we also know there are people who don't have that same kind of community access. And a lot of churches have been working on other ways to reach people who aren't as comfortable with computers. But quite honestly, it's often our elders that figure it out first.
Yeah.
And I've noticed in our groups, they're then teaching one another, here's how you Zoom, here's how you find a YouTube video, here's how you connect with each other.
Online presence has meant greater accessibility, say for people who may not be able to physically come in the church before, they now have that resource. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But you are Cambridge University's church, but also you serve the Cambridge Market, being right in the centre of town. Now, while that's not your role specifically, could you tell us a bit about what your colleague Ed has been doing to help those affected by the ups and downs, the closures, the reopening? Anything about that?
Absolutely. So Ed Kearns is a member of the church and in our governing board, the PCC, as well as an artist, and actually has a stall on the market when the market's been open, which has been lovely. And Ed's been our chaplain to the marketplace. Pretty much everywhere in England, wherever you live, there is a parish that you're in. I don't think there's anywhere that isn't covered by a parish. But we've only got about 12 residents in our parish geography, but what we do have is that market, and we used to be called St. Mary's on the market, centuries ago. And so Ed's been building up a relationship with market traders and people who come there regularly, and being that pastoral presence, which isn't about hammering people on the head and trying to drag them into through church doors. The goal of a church is not its own membership. It's about how we serve everyone. And so it's been building that relationships and walking through traders who've had a difficult time with the sorts of sometimes very necessary changes in regulations are hard for small business owners, especially. And they can be very vulnerable. And these are people who love connecting. They're folks who are out in public-facing work, dealing all the time with customers from around the world. And that can be, both financially threatening, but emotionally challenging as well, to suddenly be in lockdown and be apart from your customers, as well as the worries you have for, businesses that they've been working for years to build up. And so it's really been about a patient presence and building up those relationships with people.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite a sort of mental health outreach program what you provide. I mean, it's easy to forget that that's sort of what a backbone of what the church provides, has been providing, if you look at it a different way.
No, absolutely. And we're a church community that's very comfortable in talking about mental health issues. It's something that our vicar Adrian has preached and talked about a lot, including his own journey, and how we care for one another, how we connect with one another. The flip side of that is also working on how we treat one another when we're doing so much on social media, the sorts of kindness that we can show rather than trolling, and what that presence looks like in a generous community building way.
That's very interesting, what you say about the church and its discussions of anti-trolling. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. So we are running out of time a little bit, but is there any advice specifically you'd like to share with listeners, religious or not, about how your services can help them cope with the challenges of the pandemic?
Sure. The only reason I'm hesitating is, there's nothing more frustrating than when you're struggling hearing someone being sort of Pollyannish, optimistic, this is all great. It is hard. And one of the things that that the journey of faith offers is that space to also be sad or lonely or worried, as well as the comfort of connecting with community and connecting with the divine. We offer daily prayer in part because that consistency and structure and the words of the Psalms. What I love about the Book of Psalms is there's some really horrible stuff in the Book of in the Psalms, in that poetry. These are poems of anger and judgment and grief and joy and wonder. And that routine of a structure of a life of prayer and the emotional breadth and diversity that scripture offers can be a really helpful tool. And the other piece is knowing that even when we're praying alone, we're not praying alone. Mm. And that's something that Christians have believed for as long as there's been Christianity, is that koinonia, that community, that almost literally internet that exists across time and space. So that when we take a moment in prayer, we're connecting with people in a really profound and wonderful way. And I hope that's a comfort, and I hope it's also a permission to know that it is a struggle and that you're not alone in that struggle.
Fantastic. So Great St. Mary's can be accessed online for our listeners who actually would like to see some of the services you provide, maybe do some streaming or access those. Do you have your website to hand? I have not got it written.
I do. It's Great St. Mary's. Saint is ST. So greatstmarys.org.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from folks. And it's actually a new website. That's one of the things
that's great. And you can access all the different, and you said there's a YouTube channel. I presumably you can access that from there as well.
Yep. So YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter are all at Great St. Mary's.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for talking to us, Devin. Hope to talk to you or one of your team maybe next month. Thank you.
Terrific, Emily. Thanks.
Cambridge 105 Radio.